Now, let's deal with the issue about homosexuality, which again has come up in this election.
I wondered how long before you get from me to that issue,
well,
Stephen.
So let's talk about it. It cost Jim Wells his job. It cost your mate Jim Wells his job.
It's not actually an issue in the manifesto, and it's not actually an issue which is dealt with at Westminster. One was just dealt with by the Assembly. But yes, go ahead.
Why was Jim Wells talking about it in the hustings then?
Well, I think he was asked a question about gay marriage.
And it cost him his job.
And he gave an answer which he has apologised for, which the party has said he was wrong in giving, and which he has, as you say, had it make a decision and has resigned his job over.
Do you agree with him when he says that homosexuality is a lifestyle choice?
As far as I'm concerned, what the choices people make about their relationships are private choices. They will define what that private choice means.
But do you think people are born gay, or do you think it's a lifestyle choice? What do you stand for as an individual,
Stephen,
putting yourself up for election?
Stephen,
what's your view?
My view on that is not... My view about people's personal relationships is not important. Their view is what determines it. So it's not an issue which I, as a public representative, feel that I have to make any comment on.
But you do for this reason, because it influences how you vote. If you think people are born gay, then it may influence the rights and the freedoms that they have in any society. So do you agree with your party colleague, former Minister Jim Wells, when he says that people choose to be gay rather than being born gay?
I mean, we can dance around this question all day, Stephen. You're still going to get the same answer. And as far as I'm concerned, people's choices about their sexuality are their decision. It is for them to define why they've made that choice, not for me to define it. Yes, of course, to make a choice
to be gay.
The choice which they make, they will determine and will indicate and will have their
own
beliefs.
Aren't they born like that? Well, did you make a choice to be straight?
Well, that's up to them to determine that. Not up for me to. I can't go to every end of and make a judgment on every individual and say, you were born that way or you made yourself that way. Have them not even know. So how can I make that decision, and how can I make any pronouncement on that?
You see, has Peter Robinson decided to discipline Paul McLean, DUP councillor, party group leader on the council, former party group leader, isn't he? Or what is he now?
I'm not too sure.
Anyway, he wants homosexuality to be illegal. Has Peter Robinson disciplined him?
It's his personal view. You can't discipline people for having personal views.
For saying that gay people should be criminalised?
Yeah, Stephen, I mean, you're going down a very dangerous...
Criminalised?
You're going down a very dangerous road here. Are you saying that a party should not allow people to have personal views that are different from the party? I mean, what kind of Stalinist organisation would that be?
What would be the difference
Hold on, I've got to be able to put a question to you, which is this.
What would be the difference in Paul McLean saying that all black people should be criminalised and saying what he has said, that all gay people should be criminalised? What's the difference?
Well,
is Peter Robinson that weak that he cannot act on a party member that wants to tell gay people in this country that they should be criminalised? What, locked up?
No.
Fine?
No, I'll tell you what Peter Robinson's responsibility is. Peter Robinson's responsibility of the leader of the DUP is to make it clear where the position of the party that he leads is on this particular issue, and he has done that, and done that very clearly.
So anybody in the party can say whatever they want. Maybe it will be black people will be locked up next by the DUP.
Well,
or Chinese people, Sammy.
Well, the one thing,
and Peter Robinson
the one
will
thing,
do nothing.
The one thing
nothing.
The one thing
absolutely
we're not,
nothing.
The one thing we're
it's
not
a personal
going to
issue.
Do, the one thing we're not going to do, Stephen, is have thought police go round the party and ask every individual, what's your personal view on this, and this? We don't like that. We're going to discipline you.
You see,
that's no way to run a party. The difference is that where somebody expresses that personal view and it is contrary to what the party believes, then the party has a right to quickly
correct
that. So
there's no discipline within your party?
Yeah, well, there is discipline. And the discipline is that where someone with personal views who believes that they can say these things publicly and then try and associate the party with it, that the party will come out and make it quite clear that you do not speak for us on that particular issue.
I want to spend one more minute on this, because here's how important this maybe is in Northern Ireland. Peter Robinson is the first minister of this country. So therefore, he needs to be representing everybody. Not just representing everybody, he needs to be looking after everybody, Sammy. Okay? Now, let's take a scenario, because some of these people write to me. So let's take a scenario of an 18, 19-year-old kid in Northern Ireland, okay? And they are gay. They're currently told by one of your party members, Ian Paisley Jr., that he finds them repulsive. He finds their sexuality repulsive, right? They are currently told by another one of your party members, Paul McLean, that he wants to make them criminals. And some of those people are suicidal. Some of those people feel under so much pressure in Northern Ireland that they feel isolated. And your party and your party leader is not stopping your members saying it.
And they're also currently told...
He's not doing it.
They're also
time and time
told,
again.
And they're also currently told, and I don't know how many programmes I have appeared on, Peter Robinson has appeared on, Nigel Dawes has appeared on, and a whole Arlene Foster, they're also told that we do not believe that, first of all, people should be discriminated against because of their sexuality, and secondly, that the law should protect them if they are
You blamed them for Hurricane Katrina. Your party blamed them for Hurricane Katrina.
Our party did not blame them for
Morris
Hurricane Katrina.
Mills. DUP councillor.
Again, look, within every party...
Hurricane Katrina
people,
was God's judgment on New Orleans for hosting a gay festival.
The party made it quite clear. That was not the party position. The party position has been clearly
was
stated.
Was he disciplined for saying that?
The party position has been clearly explained by myself and by others who have made it clear, and this is where... Anybody, well, it doesn't matter what their colour is, their creed is, or their sexuality is, that under the law, we believe they should be protected against attacks, and we believe they should not be discriminated against.
I have only one last question from you, and then we're moving on to the deficit. Any gay person in Northern Ireland, can you reassure them that you feel their sexuality is normal?
As far as I'm concerned, the choice that they have made is a choice which I will respect.
A choice?
That's the kind of lifestyle they want is...
Lifestyle?
Is their own decision. And as far as I'm concerned, I have a different view. I respect them for the view, for the choice which they have made. They should respect me for the views which I have on the issue.
The question, Sammy, was just reassure them that they're normal. Just reassure them that they're normal, that their sexuality is normal. You can say yes to that, can't you?
I'm not going to give you the answer in the terms that you want.
Is skin colour normal?
Is race normal? I have made it quite clear that as far as we're concerned, that we have certain views, they have certain views about the choices which they've made.
They're part of your community,
Sammy. But they deserve the same protection in the law, and they deserve the same protection by the police as I or you deserve.
Okay, the deficit. Your manifesto says as a responsible party, we want to see the budget deficit eliminated. However, we recognise that the rush to reduce and eliminate the deficit can have an impact on growth. So, how quickly should the deficit be eliminated?
Well, I think
3 years, 5 years. No, what
that,
would it be?
And that'll be determined by a range of things. It'll be determined by, first of all.
Don't be telling me I don't know.
No, I do. But it'll be determined by how quickly the economy itself grows. Obviously, we've got strong growth for parts of the United Kingdom at present, but as the economy grows, then of course it becomes easier to eliminate the deficit quicker. If the economy remains sluggish, then of course you will still need certain stimulus.
So there's no target in your head?
Well,
is this another vague statement?
And I'll tell you the difficulty with targets, Stephen. The last Conservative government set itself a target that the deficit would be reduced by now, and because of factors, with some of them external economic factors which were beyond their control, they have not been able to do it. So I think the best way of addressing the deficit or looking at the deficit is to say, look, let's look at the conditions which prevail in the economy.
Two parties are apart, so you can tell us what your view is. You've got the Conservatives that will want to cut the deficit quicker than the Labour Party. So which of those two positions do you favour?
Well,
don't be vague now.
I'm not being vague. I'm giving an answer as an economist. It is easier to cut the deficit if factors pertain which enable the economy to grow. Because if the private sector is taking up a lot of the
slack... You're
getting
the obvious.
Yeah, well, Yes, and that's exactly right. It is the obvious.
Do you favour Labour's position that the deficit should be cut slower than the Conservatives would?
Well, if we depend upon the economic conditions which prevail...
We're back to being vague again.
We're not being... It depends upon the economic... Let's say, for example, we were, for some reason or other, we replunged into a deep recession again, or economic growth were to disappear because of factors... We're a very open economy. We depend upon exports, etc. Let's say the world economy were to slow down, and as a result, our own economy were to slow down, we wouldn't be able to clear the deficit as quickly.
You're an economist. You're the former finance minister.
We wouldn't be able to clear the deficit as quickly as
You could be asked this question within weeks. So where do you stand now? Within days, you could be asked this question.
Our position is... it's as simple as position with the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. I mean, the Conservative Party has argued exactly as I'm arguing that the deficit, they believe they can bring the deficit down quickly because they've made certain...
Correct. Labour would bring it down slower.
No, because they've made certain assumptions about the growth of the economy.
Right.
Now,
you can't tell us which of those two parties you would choose on that basis.
We can only say we would... make a judgment about the deficit on the basis of how the economy was performing. So, that's what they're both saying. Here's the reason why they have a different position.
The
Conservative Party believes that the economy will continue to grow and grow strongly.
Correct.
The Labour Party believes that the economy will grow much more slowly.
Yes.
And therefore, the wherewithal to clear the deficit is going to, not be
and
there.
And listen to what you've just done. You're standing for election. You've just told us what the Labour Party believes. You just told us what the Conservative Party believes. You're totally vague about what you believe.
And we have said...
What does the DUP believe?
We have said we will make our judgment about the reduction of the deficit, first of all, on the ability of the country to pay...
You've just told us what those two parties believe. What do you believe?
Pay down the deficit. Well...
Do you have a position?
All I can say is that from our point, and I'm looking at it from a Northern Ireland point of view, while growth may have been strong within some parts of the United Kingdom, growth is still fairly tenuous here. And therefore, any rush to pay down the deficit is likely to have a detrimental impact upon Northern Ireland.
Okay. So you favour Labour's position?
So what we have said in our manifesto and in our plan for Northern Ireland is that we will expect that when the government in Westminster is looking at policies, taxation policies, etc., that they do an assessment of what is the impact likely to be on regions like Northern Ireland. And if by pulling the deficit down quickly, they're going to have a huge detrimental impact on Northern Ireland, then we will expect some compensation for that.
All of a sudden, the tunnel plan sounds less vague, because I think I've got nothing out of you there in terms of if you feel that we should be cutting the deficit quicker, which is what the Conservatives do against Labour. And you're the party, after Sinn Féin's interview in this studio last week, that put out press releases calling their economic plans harebrained plans and all of this here kind of stuff.
Well, we're certainly not talking about paying off people's credit card debts and some of the other nonsense that Sinn Féin talked about.
But you're
not
telling us about which scenario you would back with the deficit.
Well,
you're ducking it
I'm not ducking and diving it. We're saying, and this judgment will be made, not now, this judgment will be made over the lifetime of the Parliament.
If there's a hung Parliament within days, you've got no fixed view that you're sharing with us this morning.
And do you know something?
So what are people voting for?
No, Stephen, I don't know if you understand the way the government's own fiscal position has worked. The government at Westminster set out 5 years ago to reduce the deficit by 2015. They had to adjust that policy over the 5 years.
Correct.
Because the economy did not grow as fast as possible.
Sammy, they had a policy that they adjusted. You have no policy to adjust.
And our position is exactly the same. We want to get the deficit down as quickly as possible, but that can only be done if the right conditions apply. And that will require a year-on-year monitoring of what's happening with the economy.
Listen to that politician statement. Listen to that. Do you go to special classes to learn how to say this? Lots of sentences which mean nothing. Listen to what you've just said. We would want to reduce the deficit as quickly as possible if the right circumstances were in place. That means nothing.
It does.
That is no commitment that the public can say now their judgment is right or wrong. My dead granny would want to to reduce the deficit as quickly as possible if the right conditions were in place.
And therefore,
it's an empty and vacuous statement.
And therefore, right, so let me give you the scenario, Stephen. The government presents a budget to in 5 weeks' time or whatever, to start reducing the deficit and saying that we believe we can cut X number of pounds off public spending.
Cameron has said it. £1 in every 100.
And we can do that.
But you know what Cameron's position is.
Over the lifetime of the Parliament.
£1 in every 100.
We will then look to see what impact is that likely to have.
Okay.
And we will be asking. And indeed, what we've said in our economic plan is we want an assessment of what impact will that have on Northern Ireland so we can make a judgment then as to whether or not we should back that.
But you do want the deficit eliminated.
We do.
So would you do that with cuts or tax rises?
It'll be a combination of both. It has to be a combination.
Where would you put the tax rises?
In fact, it'll be more than just cuts and tax rises. There'll also be the possibility of selling off public assets.
Okay.
To bring money in from that.
What taxes would you put up?
Well, the taxation policy is something which will be determined mostly by the big parties at Westminster.
Let me give you some examples.
Put up? For example, currently, Google, Starbucks and a range of other big companies avoid tax in the United Kingdom. Tax dodging and tax evasion are could render, it is reckoned, about £9 billion.
But tax avoidance and tax evasion, as a former finance minister, is not a tax increase. What taxes would you put up?
There are people like yourself who are earning well above £150,000. Now you see you're beginning to pale at this, but we believe...
But we believe that
those who can afford to pay most should be paying more.
Okay.
And indeed, during the last...
So you would put the top rate of tax up to what?
Not only this is a public position we have, because during the last Parliament, when the government decided to bring the top rate down from 50% to 45%, I actually spoke against it in the House of Commons.
So you put it back up to 50.
I made the argument. And I think that 50% would be a reasonable way of... And that would bring in... It is reckoned that that would bring in about £3 to 4 billion.
What about welfare cuts as part of the package?
Well, again...
Would you support that?
I think that the welfare bill is one which needs to be got under control. There's also good benefits.
Is that a yes? You would support welfare cuts?
There are benefits. We have supported welfare cuts already. Don't forget. And there are certain benefits in reducing...
The Tories are planning those, £12 billion more.
In reducing some of those because it helps to make work pay.
Would you ever support a Tory party that was going to bring in, as they've said they will, £12 billion of welfare cuts?
Well, it would depend where those cuts were. And again, we would want to see where those cuts were, the impact we're going to have. But, I mean, we have supported... We supported the government on the benefit cap. We supported the government on some of the changes which they have made for universal credit.
Okay.
We've supported the government on a range of other things.
Sinn Féin are saying that not one person in this country will be adversely affected with welfare cuts, or they will never agree to it in Northern Ireland.
Well, I think that you and I have had this discussion many times, and we know that that promise is not possible. That promise will not be kept and can't be kept by Sinn Féin, because there's simply not the money available for it.
So that promise by Sinn Féin is impossible?
It is impossible. I mean, you and I have been through the figures
before.
They
felt that your party had signed up to that too.
You and I have been through the figures on many, many occasions on this, and given the amount of money which is available to the executive, the full extent of welfare cuts cannot be covered. And indeed, if they could be covered, why would you introduce welfare reform in the first place?
So what you're currently saying this morning is not only are the current cuts impossible, the promise that Sinn Féin has said, that no one will be adversely affected. You're saying that that is impossible, but you're also saying this morning that you would need to look at this £12 billion of Tory cuts, but that you will support some of those further cuts.
Well, we will look at the individual cuts. We will look at the impact they're likely to have, but we recognise that the welfare budget is one of those areas, because it is so large, which needs to be looked at.
Well, that's honest politics. So you're saying that you would have to make further welfare cuts on top of the current cuts.
Well, we recognise that that is one of the areas where reductions will have to be made. Yeah.
And have you any idea where the welfare cuts would be? Further cuts?
No, I don't know. And even, let's face it, we don't even know what the proposals, because Labour have said the same and the Conservatives said the same, but none of them have been prepared to say currently where they've been prepared to make those cuts, so we'd not be in a position to judge as to whether or not we'll be supporting them.
Beyond the fantastic current affairs programmes that the BBC has, Spotlight, you know, the programmes like Nolan. How on earth has the BBC annoyed you so much that you want to change? It's nothing to do with the tough questions that the BBC asks you.
Absolutely not.
That it's in your manifesto that you want to change the BBC, right?
Just let's
you want to get rid of the licence
fee? Let's make something clear.
Do you want to abolish the BBC?
Let's make
Do you want to take us
clear.
All out?
I don't mind tough questions. And indeed, as you, I'm sure, will freely admit, I could have had the opportunity to do this programme when you were absent, and I chose rather to do it when you were here, because I don't mind tough questioning. And indeed, I enjoy our little exchanges. So, I mean, that's
so not... So you want to scrap the licence fee and change the BBC?
Yes.
Why?
I do. And in fact, we will have an opportunity to do this in the next
part. Is this a veiled threat to the BBC?
No, it's not. But it's simply...
Are we irritating you with our questions?
No, you're not. If you're irritating with questions, I simply wouldn't come on to your blooming programme, Stephen. You know, I don't mind the questions.
So what's wrong with the BBC?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a whole lot wrong with it. I mean, the first thing is that it's a very wasteful organisation. Any organisation which has a guaranteed source of income, such as BBC does, £3.5 billion from licence fee payers, tends to get very lazy about the way it spends money. And indeed, I could now give you a catalogue for probably the next 15 minutes of the wasteful expenditure which has been identified. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that given that the choice which people now have when it comes to either radio, TV or other forms of entertainment, then they should have the right to choose whether they wish to pay for it or not. Those two reasons, I believe, and also, I mean, many people are forced to pay a licence fee for an organisation with whose views they quite radically disagree.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but the universality of that licence fee means that we can do investigative programmes, you know, I don't know, in the Red Sky and other issues like that. None of that annoys the DUP. None of it irritates you.
But there are plenty of commercial organisations that do investigative programmes as well. I mean, papers are commercial organisations, but they do investigative journalism. I mean, investigative journalism doesn't require a guaranteed income.
Do you still harbour thoughts of being the leader of your party?
Stephen, we have got
First Minister.
We have got a leader.
Aye, but
a leader who has a leader who has done a good job for us and who continues to do a good job for us.
And might be going soon.
And I have no intention of trying to play your little game of who will who will be the next leader of the DUP.
You nearly ruled yourself out there and you pulled yourself back in, didn't you?
Leader of the DUP.
Look at that cheeky wee smile. You want to be the leader of your party, don't you?
I have made it quite clear to you. I've made it quite clear to you time and time again. It is not a job which is up for grabs at the moment.
Here's another politician's answer.
And it is not a job which I am seeking.
Is Peter Robson going to lead the party through the full term of the next assembly?
I don't know. That's Peter's decision.
And haven't asked him?
That's Peter's decision and Peter will
I dare say you've asked him.
And Peter will tell
have
us.
Have you asked him?
When he has made that decision.
Have you asked him?
I haven't asked him, no.
No?
I haven't, no.
Right. And he hasn't told you?
And he hasn't told me. And
really?
I don't think that he would either.
So
I think that he would have, there'd be other people more important in the party he would tell before you tell me.
Really? Like who?
I don't know, but you can...
Who's more important than you in the party?
Well, I'm not a party officer, so I imagine you go to the party officer before you go to me.
So you haven't ruled yourself out then?
I've told you that, as far as I'm concerned, I am not a candidate for the leadership of the DUP.
Of course you're not. That's stating fact. Yeah. But the question was, would you like it if there was a vacancy?
There is not a vacancy, Stephen, so don't speculate about what's going to happen in the future.
But what about a feasibility study like your tunnel? What about a feasibility study after Peter goes?
You don't have feasibility studies. You have votes in a party and the party will make a decision on that.
No thought in advance?
No.
Okay. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Good morning. That's Sammy Wilson from the DUP.